Good to see you today, and we're glad that you have come. Thankful to the East Alabama Children's Choir coming and sing. Mary said that the Bible says it's okay to clap your hands and tap your feet. The preacher says it's okay for you to do it as well. I can't quite do it in harmony or unison, but we're glad. We appreciate you coming and being here. And if you're a guest here today, let me give you another word of welcome. We're glad that you're here. We have guests every service that we come. You may have come for the choir today, but whatever your reason, we hope that on this month of April, we'll have an Easter here in a couple of weeks, that this will be a place that you'll want to come. If you don't already have a church home, we hope that you'll hang with us all month and even beyond, and consider making Parkway Baptist Church your church home, and hope that you feel welcomed here today, and we are glad that you're here. We are in John chapter 11, going to read the first 15 verses, but keep your Bibles open. We will read the whole story, familiar story that is found here, so you want to keep your Bibles open as we read through here. And before we read, I'm going to call you, church, to a time of prayer for just a moment. One of our staff members' children has gone to the emergency room and is being taken to Children's Hospital, and so I'm just going to ask it. I know that many of you already prayed. I'm going to lift up a prayer, but if 300 or however many we have here in the service today, if you will all lift up a prayer for Olive Doster at this time. Let's bow and pray for her now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you even at this time. We thank you that we can come and worship, and as we're gathered together, we're certainly focused on you. We come today, and we do want to focus our prayers particularly. Pray that you'll be with Olive, that you'll be with her. Pray for doctors and nurses, and we thank you, Father, for their skills and their knowledge. We know that all good gifts come from above. We pray for traveling graces and pray that you'll keep her safe as they go to Children's Hospital, Father. We pray that she'll be the best cared for. We pray that you'll be with parents and family members even now, bringing them a peace that surpasses all understanding. We know that we can trust in you for all things. We're thankful that we can come together as a church in times such as these and as well as other times. And we pray for others, Father, who may be in need today, that you'll be with each one, each family member, and watch over. And now, Father, we pray for our time together here today. May our focus be on you. May we exalt your name in everything that we do, just as we have done in worship so far. We pray, Father, that you may touch and transform our hearts. We pray that we may be drawn to you. And now, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. If you are willing and you are able, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word today in these first 15 verses? John chapter 11 and verse 1 reads like this. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, him who you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word, and you may be seated. I don't know if you've heard or not, but the James Bond movie franchise is undergoing many changes. I think it's been sold to Amazon or something like that. And I only say this because one of my favorite actors is Sean Connery, who is the first and the original 007. And there is no greater than the one that is the original Sean Connery. Everybody else is just an imitation. He was the first one that was able to say, and to say it correctly, he's Bond, James Bond. Also, he's been in, of course, hundreds of other movies. He was in some of my other favorite movies. He was in an Indiana Jones and played the father of Indiana. And he seems to be a little confused when he hears people calling. Dr. Jones seems to be confused when he hears people calling his son Indiana. And he says, we called the dog Indiana. And then he was in also another movie that you may have heard of, depending on how old you are. If you have not, you just hang with us and believe that these exist. But The Untouchables. And there he's talking to Elliot Ness, and he's the Chicago cop, the seasoned Chicago cop. And he says to Elliot Ness, the Chicago way. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. Well, but that's not the Jesus way, is it? Well, think about it. What is the Jesus way? Jesus way is, if he is your enemy, love him. If she curses you, bless her. If he hates you, do good to him. If she spitefully uses you, persecutes you, pray for her. That is the Jesus way. But the Jesus way is not usually the world's way, nor is it even our way much of the time, because much of the time our way is so much different than the way Jesus is and the way he sees things. On the first Sunday in March of this year, we're in John 3 all of last month, but in John 2 was the first sign or the first miracle in the Gospel of John that pointed to Jesus and began to point to who he was. By the time we come to John 11 that we're looking at today, we find the seventh sign or the seventh miracle that John focuses on that we might be able to point to, and perhaps the greatest miracle before the cross and the resurrection. We're talking this month about before and after the cross, and we want everything that we do, of course, to be focused on. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you as a church, encourage you as believers in the Lord Jesus, this month particularly, as we get ready for the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, that you walk closer than ever before. It is the name of this sermon. It's kind of our subtitle, Before and After the Cross. It is close to Jesus, or come closer to Jesus. In this 11th chapter of John, with the death of Lazarus, we're given a glimpse here of a first century family and how they relate to death and how they relate and the difference it makes because of who Jesus is. Here we have we also have a picture of the compassion of Christ and for those who are close to the Savior of the world and how we are able to know and be able to experience him even more. If you could be friends with anybody on the planet, who would you be friends with? Would it be somebody rich? Would it be somebody powerful, maybe somebody with authority? Would it be with somebody who could do something for you? Or would you be one of those rare people that you'd want to be friends for somebody that you could do something for them? From one of the most famous miracles about Jesus in the Bible that happened shortly before the resurrection, maybe just a few days before Jesus went to the cross, we're going to consider two things. Hopefully you'd receive some notes to help you along the way. If not, they'll be on the screen here today. One of those things we're going to consider, why you need Jesus. And for one, you need somebody to love. You need somebody to believe in you. We all need someone to see some good in us, something worthwhile. And even with our faults, somebody that will love us no matter what. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. But let's talk about how Mary, Martha, and Lazarus felt about Jesus. Whenever Jesus came to Jerusalem, it's likely that he stayed in Bethany. Bethany being a village less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, they would come and they would stay there. We know that they would have Jesus in their home. There is a story found in Luke 10 of Jesus being in the home when Martha is busy in the kitchen and Mary's at the feet of Jesus listening. The anointing of Jesus by Mary in preparation for the cross is mentioned here in chapter 11, though it doesn't really happen to chapter 12. Mary and Martha are certainly different individuals. They have their own personalities and traits. We have no recorded words of Lazarus, but this brother and two sisters saw in Jesus who he was and understood as well as anyone about the reason that he came, that he was the Messiah of the world, maybe even more so than the disciples. They probably yet to understand all of the sacrifice that the Messiah and what he was to become. How did Jesus feel about them? Well, we read it just a moment ago in verse 5. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were like family. In fact, they probably were his family outside of his disciples. At this point, the brothers of Jesus, we're told, did not believe and rejected Jesus and his message until after the resurrection. So they were like family, though they were not perfect. Jesus is the only perfect friend, because only Christ and Jesus, only Jesus is perfect. We find Jesus, though, gently rebuking Martha. You might remember the story on the day that she was busy in the kitchen. Mary was sitting listening at the feet of Jesus, and Martha said, "Why don't you send Mary in here to help me in the kitchen?" And Jesus said, "She has chosen something far better, that is to spend time with Jesus." I've tried that as an excuse once or twice with my beloved, said, "Come and help me in the kitchen." I said, "No, I'm spending time with Jesus." It just looked like my eyes were closed and I was in the recliner and the ball game was on. In spite of their imperfections, Jesus' love for them is unconditional. Notice how he describes Lazarus in verse 11. Read it a moment ago. He said, after saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." Now, mostly in that verse, we talk about the asleep and awakened, but there he says, notice the description, "our friend Lazarus." Maybe no greater description could be said of a person than to be a friend of Jesus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, relationships with Jesus help us to understand why we need Jesus. Also serve as good examples for us in our relationship with our in friendships that we have, where we see good in others and develop a Christ-like love for friends. But also, consider why you need Jesus. You need somebody to share joys and trials. You need somebody to share joys and trials, somebody that's going to be with you in the good and the bad. Times of rejoicing are not very joyful if we have no one to share it with, and tough times become even tougher. What's the phrase that we hear in weddings often about relationships? Your joys are doubled and your sorrows are halved. When Lazarus was sick, these friends thought of Jesus, sent word to him, which means they must have had some way of knowing about where he was and how to find him. Now, not everybody at this time knew where Jesus was. As a matter of fact, the religious leaders had put word out that they wanted to come and they wanted to be able to arrest Jesus and were already planning to put him to death. According to chapter 10 in John, Jesus was in a city that was across the Jordan, probably about 20 miles or so away, probably about a day or so travel. Jesus is well known for his miraculous healing ability. We know that he healed hundreds, lots of stories in the Bible about his healing. In some of the synoptic gospels, in the first three gospels, it was said sometimes that Jesus went into a town and he would heal everybody who was sick in that town. In times of crisis, we do not hesitate to call on family and friends. We've awakened many a family member and even sometimes church family or a friend in the middle of the night or in a crisis or when a child or family member has been sick. Unlike Jesus, we're not usually in the miraculous healing business, but we're not afraid to pray for, we're not afraid to give our advice or even to share medication in the middle of the night if we have some that will help. Can I get a witness? We've already, when we have some really good news, we can't wait to share with a family member or a close friend. Jesus already knows our greatest joys, toughest sorrows, but we need to know that we're not in this alone. Jesus, and only Jesus, knows exactly what we're going through. He wants to celebrate those things that we are ready to celebrate. He wants to help us in our times of when we are down. That's why he came to earth, to live amongst us. And we come to him in gratitude and with our request. He does for us what nobody else can do. When this close family was in crisis, the very first person that they thought of was their best friend, Jesus. We also ought to think of Jesus first when we're in crisis, when we need to give thanks. We celebrate the resurrection this month, and it is a time in which we come and we recognize what Jesus has done. When we have some of our greatest joys, we know there's no real joy without Jesus. When we go through some of our toughest times, we know that we can call upon him. But also, you need somebody to do what is needed. You need somebody to do what is best. Jesus does a curious thing when he hears of his friend in need. He delays two more days before coming. What? Doesn't that sound strange that he'd wait two more days? And then he says, let's go to Judea. Now, Jesus is coming toward the end of his three-year ministry. The cross is not far away. And now, though it's a dangerous time anywhere near Jerusalem, the last time that Jesus was in Jerusalem or near Jerusalem, they tried to stone him. No, Jesus did not delay because he thought it was dangerous or because he was anxious. He delayed for a reason that would become clear later for his disciples and for others. There was no obstacle Jesus would not overcome to help his friends. Friends meaning Lazarus, who was sick, and by the time he even got this word, probably had already died. His friends, Mary and Martha, in their grief. But Jesus knew what was best for everyone. Compare with me, if you've got your Bibles open or even on the screen, verses 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Consider what Jesus could have done. He could have immediately been at the side of Lazarus and healed him. He could have gone. He could have healed him on the day that he died. Already twice it's recorded that Jesus had brought two people back to life on the very day in which he had died. He could have done what he did for the centurion servant. Without even going, he could have miraculously healed Jesus. Supernaturally, he could have been there. Whatever he wanted to do, he chose to do. But we recognize that he did what was the very best. His actions don't seem that he's concerned for his friends, but he is. There's, of course, that underlying lesson about the ways of God and the perception of people. His ways are not our ways. 8 times in the story that we are reading today is used the word believed. There are a lot of evangelists and maybe preachers on TV that will talk to you about being in God's favor, finding steps to God's blessings as long as you do the right thing. If you're good enough, if you pray the right words, and if you give enough, well, you're going to find yourself in God's favor and in God's blessing. It's easy to believe if you believe that you're always walking in God's favor, or you feel like you're in God's favor. But what about the times you don't feel like you're in God's favor? What about when the wheels are coming off your wagon, everything has gone south, you're wondering if you can handle that which is happening, you don't know that if you can take any more, but Jesus wants to know, will you still believe? But consider why you need Jesus also. You need somebody to give life, new and eternal. You need somebody to give life new and eternal. The first 3 reasons you need Jesus as a close friend can be covered at least partially by a family member or friends you have other than Jesus. I would argue that only Jesus can cover these perfectly, but only Jesus can provide for you life new and eternal. There was another group of friends for whom Jesus was concerned about, and it's the disciples. They may be in a different kind of stress, for they're worried for their life if Jesus wants to go back to Judea. Jesus tells them, Lazarus is asleep, and he's going there to wake him up. Jesus has used this term sleep before to refer to death, and it's used throughout the New Testament. Sometimes it's referred to as sleep because for those who are followers of Jesus, it is not permanent. It is only temporary until you awake with Jesus. For even those who do have physical death, permanent, we spiritually wake up to be with him. The disciples misunderstand when he says that Lazarus is sleeping. He says if he's asleep, he will wake up on his own. They're still trying to talk Jesus out of going. So he says very plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then he gives the reasons for the delay. Look at John chapter 11 and verse 15. He said, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. Now let's go. Then Thomas, the disciple, speaks up. Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas. Thomas speaks up and he says, the one called the twin to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas says, let's go. We'll just go ahead and it's time for us to die perhaps. Thomas says, see, he has a lot of courage, but I guess I would call him a courageous pessimist. The story about Thomas always reminds me of a fellow that went on a mission trip with us some years ago. We were going on a mission trip, construction mission trip to Venezuela, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And as we went, one particular man that was going, it was at that time, which happened sometimes in Venezuela, they had an overthrow of the government, there's violence in the streets. And so when that was on the news, he came to me and he said, I don't believe I'm going to Venezuela. Besides, my wife won't let me. And sure enough, for at least for a time, the mission trip was canceled. But a few weeks went by, and then the trip was back on. I got the men together, and I said, well, listen, we're okay to go back to Venezuela. We've been cleared to go. I said, but if you feel uncomfortable, no harm, no foul. And there were a couple of men that decided that they would not go. I think their wives had something to do with it. But the one who seemed the most anxious about going on this particular mission trip, he came to me and he said, I'm going. If I have to die, this is as good a way as any. And I told him, I said, now, you know, we're going to take precautions. They wouldn't let us go if there was a real threat that was going, but I don't think I convinced him. He was sure that he was not going to come back from this trip. And we went, as all of us did. We took a suitcase and a backpack, or a suitcase and a carry-on. And as he came into that poor country, I just assumed because he saw all the poverty was there, he began to give away all of his stuff. In fact, by the time he got back on the plane, all he had left was a paper sack. If he'd given anything else away, modesty probably would have been an issue. We landed in Atlanta. As he was getting off the plane, he looks over at me and had greatest disappointment on his face. He says, "Well, we made it back alive." I said, "Just hang in there. There'll be another trip. You'll be able to die soon, I'm sure, for Jesus." I commend my friend for his courage, but oh, how the Lord wants to build our faith as well. In a few decades, Thomas, doubting Thomas, who said, "Let's go and die for Jesus," he would give his life for Jesus. But for now, Jesus was helping his friends, disciples, to understand and have a stronger faith in him. For Jesus is the only one who can give real life, real living, and true purpose. The raising of Lazarus is evidence of a resurrection for all who place their faith in him. And if you're not convinced, maybe just in these next few minutes, I want you to consider not only the possibility, but the assurance that just as Christ rose again, so will all who place their faith in Jesus. And Jesus wants to give not only eternal life, but he wants to give you purpose and new life for today. So would you consider lessons from close friends of Jesus? First, let's learn a lesson from Martha. Learn a lesson from Martha. We're going to read John chapter 11, verses 20 through 27. John chapter 11, verse 20 says, "So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.'" This is one of those great I am passages about Jesus. It's using the same word that was used in the book of Exodus with the name of God that was given to Moses back at the burning bush when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, here is a pitfall that we can avoid that will help us to trust Christ more. It is the pitfall of only talking about our faith in the past or our faith in the future. Notice the conversation when Martha meets Jesus on the road. Martha says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha says, "I know that he will at the last day." And then Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," present tense. Today, not just yesterday or just tomorrow. As believers, we sometimes talk about our faith in the past. We recognize when we should talk about it. This is the moment that I received Jesus. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I know that I put my faith in Jesus in the past. We also sometimes talk about the future, rightfully so. And we say, you know, when one day Jesus is coming again, I know that I will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Most of you believe that, those things that I've said. You can give testimony of how Jesus has saved you in the past, how you know you're going to be saved in the future. Well, then let me ask you the question, why do we have so much trouble trusting in Jesus for all the things that we are facing here today? Martha says to Jesus in verse 22, "I know whatever you ask, the Heavenly Father will give you." Yet when Jesus asked later to remove the stone, she protests. Do you remember what she says when she protests why she didn't want to remove the stone? She said, "Jesus, it's been 4 days." In the New King James Version, it says, "He stinketh." Yeah, in the King James, I really thought that was funny when I read that as a kid. Still do a little bit today. But the resurrection of her brother taught her a powerful lesson. And here's the lesson. You can have a closer relationship with Jesus by practicing your faith in the present, by practicing it today. Martha may have given the greatest declaration of faith of anybody in the New Testament before the cross. I know that's a big word, but maybe even more so than Peter did when Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" For she says, "I know that you're the Christ, the Son of God." What made it such a great declaration? Because it was while she was at her lowest. Unless we're practicing our faith in the present, especially in difficult days, it sure sounds like lip service instead of a growing, maturing faith. We also can learn lessons from Mary. From Mary. In John chapter 11, verses 28 through 35, it says this. It says, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly, went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and his spirit greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35, Jesus wept. Mary's words to Jesus are the exact same words that Martha had said, because they probably had repeated many times to one another in their grief. If the Lord had been here, if the Lord had only been here, he would not have died. And so now they are able to say and repeat these words to Jesus. Let's just admit we sometimes wonder what God's up to. We go through difficult times and we think, where is God and what is he doing? Is he paying attention? Like Mary and Martha, it's okay to share with the Lord how you feel. But remember this, he's never late. Remember this, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And remember that he always knows what is best for you and me. Did you notice what was different between Martha's response and Mary's response? Besides the words, they were the same. Well, we find that different personalities, and that may be one of the reasons, but Mary was weeping. Doesn't mean that Martha was not weeping or that she did not cry or didn't love her brother. She was just showing her emotion and her grief when she came to Jesus. And others were weeping as well. We recognize that John describes this, and he describes it for a reason. But notice Jesus' response, verse 33 of John 11. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. Why do you think that was? Well, the most obvious lesson is because he cared for Mary and Martha. For the Bible says, we grieve but not as those who have no hope. And you who are students of the Bible, you knew what was coming in verse 35, shortest verse in the Bible. You know it, maybe your favorite verse, Jesus wept. Well, crowds are also weeping. And they say, look how he loved his friend Lazarus when they see him. But they did not know what was about to happen. Jesus knew. He had known for 4 days what was about to happen. He recognized if he was weeping for Lazarus, it was not because he had died. If he was weeping for Lazarus, it's because he was bringing Lazarus back from the land of the living to the land of the dying. So he's weeping because, but also he was weeping for others who were there because there were others who were there. You remember the other time it says that Jesus wept? He wept over Jerusalem because of their lack of faith. And he recognizes that some of those who are weeping, they also do not believe in Jesus, have not placed their faith in him, at least not yet. So the lesson that we learn from Mary is in compassion, weep for those who weep. In faith, trust the one who is trustworthy. We also learn a lesson from Lazarus. We're going to pick up in verse 36 of John 11, where it says, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is perhaps one of the greatest, even the most dramatic miracles before the cross of Christ. It foreshadows Jesus' own resurrection. We can visualize the drama that's taking place, the stone being rolled away. Well, that sounds familiar. Martha protests that the odor will be unbearable. It's been 4 days. But Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe that you would see the glory of God? But note the scene, if you would. Mary is there. Martha is there. There are many mourners who are there, who would be the Jewish custom. The disciples are there. Not one person gave any indication that they thought that Jesus would bring their friend back to life. Jesus prays to the Father with confidence. I know that you hear my prayers, and I thank you that you hear my prayers, but I say this so that others might be able to hear. Then Jesus looked in the tomb, and he said with all authority, and he calls out, the same one who spoke, and light, and all of earth, and all living things came into being at his voice. The one who speaks, and all of heaven and earth trembles. The one whose voice the angels listen to so that they might be able to beckon at his every call without hesitation. This voice spoke with a loud sound and said, Lazarus, come forth. If he had not been specific, if he had not said the name Lazarus, every person who had died in ages past would have risen. And Lazarus, still in his grave clothes, came out of the tomb and told, Jesus told him to remove the grave clothes so that he might be set free. We can hardly think of this scene without thinking of Jesus' own resurrection and the new life that he offers to all, recognizing only Jesus was resurrected. This is another yet resuscitation of one who came back to life, but only for a time. Tradition tells us that Lazarus lived for another 30 years. Another tradition says that Lazarus fled to Cyprus in fear of the Jews. I would not like to think that tradition is true. Would you think that somebody that Jesus brought back to life would be concerned that somebody else was out to get him or to put him to death? I don't think that he was really concerned about that. Jesus gives us new perspective on everything, including death. We see this illustration of Lazarus in our own experience. For we were all dead in our trespasses and sin till Jesus called us. And we responded to his call, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. And when you respond to his call, that he comes and he helps to remove those old selfish natures so that we might be able to be set free, so that we might be able to serve him. We now know we're not in the land of the living on our way to the land of the dying. We are now in the land of the dying, and we're on our way to the land of the living. So Jesus offers life to all who are dead in their trespasses who answer when Jesus calls. If you have yet to give your heart and life to Jesus, you can know that today Jesus is calling. I want you to be ready to answer that call so that you might know that you have new life and eternal life. And then there are, we can learn from the new friends of Jesus. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Got one more verse. We've read lots today, but verse 45 says, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. Some who were present were followers. They needed their faith strengthened, just like some of us do today. Some became believers that day and became new friends of Jesus. Do you know the Great Commission, which says, go and make disciples? Another way of saying that is, let's go and let's make more new friends of Jesus. Not long ago, this past year, as a matter of fact, we were on a mission trip in the Republic of Georgia. We were in a marketplace, and I ran into a fella there who was painting, He was out there selling his paintings, I bought one of his paintings, and I asked him his name. He said, his name is Lazarus. Now, I didn't understand it at first. I said, what's your name? He said, Lazarus, you know, like in the Bible. I thought, wow, what an opening. I said, do you believe the Bible? We talked to him. He said, oh, yeah, I guess. And, you know, then I told him about Jesus. We prayed together. And he said, I will believe in Jesus. I can't tell you that day that he became a believer. We did pray that day, but planted a seed and we pointed someone to Jesus. Here's a picture of him. I'm not sure who the old man is next to him, but the guy in the black hair, that's him there. It was after we talked, prayed together. I said, how old are you? I was thinking he's about mid-20s. He said, I'm 14. I thought, wow. He said, what an opportunity to point somebody to Jesus. You can take the picture off now. It'd be okay. You know that you and I can't save anybody. We can pray for them. We can invite them so that they might be able to hear the good news. We can share our own testimony and we can share the gospel. But only Jesus can change somebody. Only Jesus can give them new life and eternal life. But we want to expose them to the love of Christ and the gospel message so they might believe. Demonstrate your new life before others so more will believe Jesus is the resurrection and life. Those friends of Jesus came closer than they've ever been that day. And many became new friends of Jesus. Some who were there that day, they went and told the religious leaders who were already out to get Jesus. And there they renewed their commitment and their plans to arrest and kill Jesus and even to kill Lazarus again. Well, good luck with that. Some of us here today, we need to renew our commitment to walk close to Jesus. Let's do that today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come and be able to bring praise to your holy name. Father, we thank you for the praises that have been brought forth. We thank you for the children to adults and all those who are here today that we were able to bring praise to your holy name. We thank you for the prayers that have been lifted. We know that you've heard every prayer. We thank you for the reading and proclamation of your word. And Father, we pray that even today, particularly as we celebrate the resurrection in a few weeks, and we pray that something that we do every Sunday and every day, Father, may we renew our commitment to come close to you. Father, we pray if there are ones here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, maybe somebody listening today, we know that you're calling them. Father, may they answer that call today. May they ask you to forgive them of their sin and ask Jesus to come in and be Savior and Lord. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.